Hello, Cheeky. Hello, Cheeky.
Hello. Oh, hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Ah, hello, Cheeky.
Under arrest.
The String Vest of Infinity, an epic poem by John Junkin.
Oh, come on, it's not that kind of program.
Very well. How about Death War Black Comms? A verse drama by John.
It's not that kind of program either, John.
Oh, please yourself. How about There Was a Young Lady Called Vickers?
Get off!
Wait a minute. It is that kind of program. How does it go, John?
There was a young lady called Vickers, of whom I've heard various rumors. She wore a string vest for protecting her chest and wrapped up her bottom in trousers.
I've had enough of this. I'm going to return my radio and ask for half my license money back.
You've only got a dog license.
Very well. I shall return half my dog and ask for all my license money back.
How can you have half a dog?
Oh, come on, young sir. Have you never heard anyone say my dog's half Scotty and half Yorkshire Terrier?
No.
Yes, you have. You just heard him say.
Well, what is your dog, then?
Well, half Dachshund, half cow.
How do you figure that out?
Well, his dad was very short-sighted and they found him playing around with an old jersey.
Oh, no.
Hello?
Hello, a very old jersey here, and I'd just like to say moo.
Why?
Because they don't write many jokes for cows, and you've got to get in while you can.
Can't stand a pushy cow. Well, now, after that interruption... Hello?
Hello. The mayor of cows here. Start doing jokes about us, I'll set my sheep on you.
Here is a news flash. In an act passed by Parliament today, it has been made illegal for anyone to buy tea bags on Sunday unless they own £10 million worth of property which nobody lives in. Questioned later, the minister said that this was to prevent the wealthier old age pensioners from hoarding tea bags to sell later at a profit. He then added that he and Harry Hyams were just good friends.
A spokesman for Harry Hyams said later that Centre Point was no longer available for rent as it was now full of tea bags.
A spokesman for the Mayor of Cowes said that he was unavailable for comment as he had been bitten in the leg by a sheep.
The sheep was later questioned but was unable to reply as his mouth was full of the Mayor of Cowes. Hello?
Hello. This am a sheep.
Get off.
You're not in this series.
Oh, damn.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present... The Return of the Magnificent Seven.
Hello again.
Hello again.
Hello again.
Hello again.
Hello again.
Hello again.
Just a minute, there's only six.
Well, we lost Yul Brynner. He went as a guest celebrity on Pop Black and somebody sank him in the corner pocket.
Moonlight becomes you.
What are you trying to say?
Only go out at night.
That reminds me, I was so tired last night, I put the milk out and boiled the cat. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, I know. You're a cat.
No, I'm a sheep, but I'm going steady with a cat.
How can you go steady with a cat?
Practice, man, practice.
Prince Andrew, Prince Andrew, where are you? If I find you, you'll feel the back of my hand. Prince Andrew, where are you?
That was a short extract from The Royal Hunt of the Sun.
Next week, this time... We shall be deported.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the Empire Pool, Wembley last night, an international crundling match between England and Italy had to be abandoned halfway through as nobody knew what crundling was.
Hey, my darling, dancing with you is paradise. All my cares drift away and I feel I'm floating on a pink Clyde.
Yeah, but do you think we ought to be doing it in the gents' cloakroom?
Hello?
This I'm the president of the British Crundling Association.
You are two jokes too late.
Oh, dear, it's these cheap Japanese sundials, you know. The minute it gets dark, they stop working.
You're a fool, sir.
What?
I'm sure you've got a marvellous sense of rhythm.
Oh, thank you.
But you know, it amazes me the number of telephone calls we get during a programme.
Why?
There isn't a phone in the studio.
No, you see, that little girl in the corner is the sound effects girl. She pretends to be a phone.
How does she do that?
She wears a long black dress and hangs over the back of a chair.
Can you pick her up?
If you buy her a couple of gins, certainly.
Hello, pretty sound effects lady. Would you care for a drink after the show?
Well, thank you very much. But unfortunately, I'm going to dinner with my boyfriend. But thank you for asking.
What did she say?
She wouldn't believe me if I told her.
Did she mention...
Yes, she did.
She always pulls that one. She's sex mad.
Hello, everyone. Lovable Dennis King here. My entire orchestra and I would now like to play a track from our latest album, Mantovani Goes Round the Twist. Thank you.
Don't say goodbye, my darling. Goodbye is a terrible word. Farewell and adieu are terrible too, and ta-ta is simply absurd. Say none of these things, I beg you, because it would make me feel low. So don't say goodbye, my darling.
Just pack up your suitcase and go. Silly old moose.
I had one of those, but the ointment got rid of it.
Honorables, Lancelot, sorry to discommode you, but I needed a place to rest.
Great heavens, King Arthur, there's a chink in my armor.
Good evening. Were you in Tooting High Street at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, wearing a dark blue suit, a shorty mac, and a green pork pie hat? If so, will you marry me?
Oh, come on!
What's the matter?
Oh, I can't keep on doing jokes about... Well,
about what?
Well, you know, about...
You mean poofs?
No. Well, yes. Look, I'm fed up with you two embarrassing me.
You know, I was very embarrassed in the news agency the other day. I opened this magazine and there were pictures of ladies with bare chests and stocking tops and everything.
Oh, it's quite common these days.
Not in the Pig Breeders Gazette.
Hey, have you seen Paul Raymond's pyjama tops?
Yes, and there's a button missing.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Barry Cryer with a clean joke.
Go on, then.
I don't know any clean jokes.
Well, think of a dirty one and clean it up.
There was this, lady, standing in a doorway, at her front door, and a man came along, who she knew, and she asked him if he'd like to come in and shake hands for £5, and he said yes, so he went in to a kitchen, and she said, how do you like to shake hands? It's not working.
Do the dance, do the dance. That man could have been another Fred Astaire if only he'd had a sense of direction.
And now, a quiz for idiots.
How many of the Three Musketeers were there?
United and City are two football teams in Manchester. Name them.
Which year followed 1921? You are allowed 3 years either way.
Write your answers on Bamber Gascoigne and lose them. Hello?
Hello. Would you allow me 4 years on that last question?
No. I would not. No.
Racist pig. You're not as generous as Huey Black.
Green.
I told you you're a racist pig.
Tim, get off the Sound Effects girl. I want to use her. I want to make a call.
All right.
At the third stroke, it will be 10 past.
10 past what?
I don't know. The other hand's fallen off me watch.
Get off the line! Hello, darling. How would it be if I came round after the show for a little drinky and some... How are you? What a pity. That's ruined my evening.
What has?
Your wife's going out tonight.
Oh, I know. She sees her husband twice a week.
You mean she's married?
Oh, easily.
Tim, do you know Barry's wife is married?
Is this true, Barry?
Yes, but I don't want to talk about it.
Hi there, Dennis King fans. And to all of you who've written asking for my background, the answer is yes. But enough of this wonderful material. It's time for me to twinkle again.
When you get back, could you give us another song?
One, 2, 3, 4.
Everybody wants something to make life right. Everybody wants something to make day out of night. Everybody wants something to make it all clear. And that thing's money. Let's be sincere. Lay on that loot. That lettuce is cute. Grab hold of that gelt. That stuff don't melt. That dough can't cook. Just give me one look. Yes, money, money, money's the reason for it all. Everybody needs believing, something to love. Everybody needs believing that there's something above. Everybody needs a reason why. That thing's money. Just to give me one look.
Just give me one look.
Yeah, money, money, money's the reason for it all. Yeah, money, money, money's the reason for it all.
Give me legal tender, Brenda. Shoot the moolah to me, Beulah.
Tim. I'll get a job tomorrow, Mummy.
On your marks. Get set.
Oh, what happened?
You were asleep and woke with a start.
It's funny you should say that.
Not as funny as I'd hoped.
No, I mean, I had a dream I was beating Mary Rand in the pentecanon.
You mean the pentathlon?
No, I was in the back of this furniture, Blurry, and I was beating.
Jimmy Savile announced today He then went on to add he might announce tomorrow, but he'd wait and see how he felt.
He then added, guys and gals, as it happens, and then gave a serious talk on further education.
He later announced he was Dame Anna Neagle. And if he wasn't, it was only a matter of time.
Take your partners for a cheese biscuit.
Hello?
Hello, this am a cheese biscuit.
Oh, you crackers.
Oh.
A survey was taken yesterday in Aylesbury. Will anyone who witnessed the theft please phone Shaw Taylor, as he's very lonely. Hello?
This am Shaw Taylor.
Shaw Taylor?
Shaw am.
Get off!
Oh!
Home hints for the handyman, number...
Isn't it time we had number three?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Number three.
What to do with your old tall boy?
Introduce him to an old tall girl. And speaking of tall girls, I once knew a girl called Ethel who was 13 feet 6 inches tall.
That is not true.
No, it isn't. Actually, she was called Doris.
Really?
Yeah. I was a medical student at the time. We were known as the Wee Doc and Doris.
And here is number 7, Enid Burst of Runcorn. Enid is 38, 24, 36. 9, 71, 16.
House!
House correct. Pay the gentleman. Next, Adele Buttress from Solihull. Adele is a bouncer at a kindergarten. And lists her hobbies as stamp collecting, oxyacetylene welding, and sleeping with beauty contest compares, so good night.
Say, Fim and Chew, we meet at last. Take that, and that, and that.
What's that, unless her? I will have them washed and ironed by Friday. You want to hear a Chinese joke?
No.
And so you shall. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ming Ti Pa Ha Chong Ting Fan Fu.
Ming Ti Pa Ha Chong Ting Fan Wu. Who?
Not for me, thanks. I have fried rice and prawn balls.
But you keep smiling, don't you?
No, it's just my pigtail's too tight.
Oh, you scrutable Orientals, you're all alike.
You haven't seen my sister.
No, where is she?
She next in beauty competition.
And now, number 11, Miss Ling Choi Hu. Hello, darling. Whose hobbies include... karate. And here's number 12, in a rather tatty green dinner jacket, baggy trousers and patent leather... I'm sorry, that's Terry Wogan. Mind you, he still looks good to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, bigger than the big country, bloodier than Bonnie and Clyde, more lavish than Crossroads. We present our adventure story of the week.
A story to stir the blood, quicken the senses, thicken the gravy, peel the potatoes, hoover the carpet, tote that barge, lift that bale, get a little drunk and you end up buying the producer large gins all night.
We present the story of a quest that became an obsession that was to rule the life of one man. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Moby Gladys.
Our story starts in an Indian restaurant.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. I've got an Indian restaurant joke.
Oh, all right, then.
Waiter, I'd like 2 poppadoms, 4 chapatis, and I'm pushed for time, so for God's sake, curry.
That wasn't really worth it, was it?
Not really, no.
Our story starts again, dogged little thing, isn't it, in the little Welsh village of Clary Adler, where, taking a stroll around the cottages to meet his new parishioners, is the new incumbent.
I'm the Reverend Francis. You'll be Mrs...
Jones.
Oh, that narrows it down a bit. Will I be seeing you in church on Sunday?
I don't know. Depends on how good your eyesight is.
Good heavens, Mrs. Jones. What's that large white object lying in your garden?
Oh, that's my Idris's prize marrow.
What a magnificent specimen.
Well, he was, but he's over the hill now. Oh, you mean the marrow, ah? Well, it's his pride and joy. He calls it Moby Gladys.
Why does he call it Moby Gladys?
Well, if he didn't, your little play would be right out the bloody creek, wouldn't it?
That's true. Thank you very much.
Don't mention it.
Oh, there's beautiful. Beautiful. Would you mind if I had a closer look?
Well, if you really want to, mind you, I'm a bit over the hill myself.
I meant the marrow.
Oh, well, all right, but be careful. Idris is a bit sensitive about it.
Gingerly, the Reverend Francis approached the object of his admiration. Get away, you long streak of religion, or I'll blow you to pieces.
Sensitive man indeed. I must possess that marrow. Tell Idris I'll come back when he's calmer.
Never, Reverend Francis, never. Take my house, take my job, take my wife, take my next 3 jokes. I don't remember writing that bit.
Get on with it, Barry.
But you'll never take my marrow.
Idris, I'll excuse you all my sermons, 2 collections a month, and you can have first choice of the sopranos in the choir.
You can't bribe me, man. She's going to win the National Marrow Championships in Cardiff next month. I shall be famous throughout the valleys. You'll get Moby Gladys over my dead body.
Righto.
That'll do you no good. She's in the wife's name.
And so it was. But somehow the sight of that marrow had affected the Reverend's brain. He began preaching sermons on the prodigal marrow, David slaying Goliath with a marrow, and the feeding of the multitudes with 5 marrows and 2 small marrows.
As the day of the show dawned and he knew that Moby Gladys was going to leave the village, he grew desperate. Stealing the collection money, he bought a motorcycle. No mean feat, as they hadn't been invented yet.
Tell me, sir, have you seen a little old lady with a large white marrow?
Not since I stopped drinking the elderberry wine, I haven't.
Oh, heck and dash nation. Hell, I should have been on that bike.
Undeterred, the Reverend set off on foot.
Get off me foot.
Oh, sorry.
Once in Cardiff, the Reverend found himself exposed to all the temptations of a big city life.
Hello, sailor. Want to be naughty with a Welsh rabbit?
But a Welsh rabbit is all covered with cheese.
You pays your money and you takes your choice.
Look, you woman, I am a man of the cloth.
Oh, well, I'd like to order 2 tweed skirts and a winter overcoat.
I can't stand here bandying words with a fat scriptwriter pretending to be a Welsh tart. I must find Moby Gladys.
But he'd been delayed too long. When he got to the marrow exhibition, the love of his life had gone.
Where is she? Where is she?
She went off in a huff after you called her a fat scriptwriter.
Not Barry, you fool. Oh. Moby Gladys.
Oh.
Oh, Mrs. Jones. Where's Moby Gladys?
Gone, sir. She won first prize and was bought immediate by one of the biggest marrow exporters in London.
London, London? I don't care. I'll follow her to the ends of the earth. And London must be in there somewhere.
Religion good, geography poor.
Totally committed to his quest, he set off for London. 2 days later, a totally bedraggled figure appeared in Covent Garden.
Excuse me, Mr. Stubble, sir, you're my last chance. I've tried every wholesaler in the market. Did you 2 days ago purchase a large white marrow called Moby Gladys?
Yes, sir, but dirty vicar, I'll just look it up in my ledger. Marrows white, Gladys Moby, yes. Oh, hell bloody.
What's the matter?
strapped my thumb in the ledger.
What has become of her?
Oh, she was bought immediate.
Who by?
Strange fellow, wore a sort of skirt and talked funny.
You mean a Scotsman?
No, he just wore a skirt and talked funny.
What was his name?
Well, he left his card here if you're interested in that sort of thing.
Oh, is this another...
No, it isn't. George Densher and Son, greengrocers to the nobility, Manchester.
It took the Reverend 5 days to walk to Manchester and 2 days to find Densher's. That makes 1 week.
1 week? It makes one exhausted.
He discovered that the eventual purchasers... He rediscovered that the eventual purchasers were a family called Nidget, with a daughter at Rodine and a son at Caius College, Cambridge. It's got nothing to do with the plot, but I like to bring a touch of class to the programme whenever I can.
Good on you, Timmy.
Thank you, Mummy.
And so, one December evening, the ragged, starving figure of the Reverend Francis rang the doorbell of the Nidget house. The door was opened by the Nidget's daughter.
From Rodine.
All right, from Rodine.
Oh, you poor ragged, starving figure, near the end of your tether. What do you want?
But the effort had been too much, and the Reverend Francis slumped unconscious into the hall.
Here, you poor fellow, have some of this.
Oh, that tasted good.
So it should. It's the first food you've taken in 2 days.
What is it?
Stuffed marrow.
Was it? Did it? Have you?
Yes.
Oh, well, if you can't beat them, join them. Can I have another slice, please?
There she goes!
Good night, Cheeky.
Goodbye, Cheeky.
This program is written and performed by Barry Fryer, Tim Brooke Taylor, and John Junkin. The music was by the Dennis King Trio. And the program was produced by David Hatch.